May the Lord help us to commence our worship this afternoon by singing hymn number 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn number 771.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the book of Judges, chapter 13. The book of the Judges, chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we should do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose, and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Or as the margin puts it, wonderful. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these." And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we plead for thy help here this afternoon. Truly, Lord, we can do nothing without thee. No, we do ask that thou wouldst condescend then to do everything for us, to work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure, to seek us to worship thee, as thy dear Son did speak of it. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, may we be favoured to worship thee in the person of thy dear Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Oh, we pray for that blessed gift, that unspeakable gift. Oh, Lord, do send thy Son by the power and the communion of thy Spirit, that we may see him by faith, feel his gracious presence and influence, know that cleansing power of his sin-atoning sacrifice, and feel that love cause our heart to burn within us. O Lord, we ask for thy grace. Lord, let thy grace abound. Where sin abounds, may grace much more abound. And sin does abound, Lord, in us. We are full of it. It defiles every thought, every word, every action. Now, Lord, we sin by committing, we sin by omitting. Lord, we plead for thy grace. Lord, that grace of which thy word speaks, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. We pray to be made poor enough and kept poor enough to walk by faith. Lord, for the grace all sufficient to be made perfect in our weakness, the weakness of poverty. Thou hast said, "I will leave in the midst of thee a poor and an afflicted people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord." May we be among them, Lord. Lord, save us from the condition thou didst reprove in that church of old. Thou sayest, I'm rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Is there any, Lord, here that are saying that? Do not let them say it when they leave the house this afternoon. Lord, but all those that have come in destitute, help them even now to pray the prayer of the destitute. And thou knowest perhaps there have been those awake in the night praying it. And through this morning, Lord, fulfill thy word. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. We ask for thy spirit to open up the word, to apply it. We pray for that liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do not let us make a mistake, Lord, in this matter. Oh, Lord, do not let us mistake fleshly liberty for spiritual. Oh, we will be free of sin. We will be free of self. We will be freed from the law. We will be freed from carking cares, freed from pride. Fleshly liberty, Lord, it nurtures pride, but spiritual liberty slays it. Oh, we pray, oh, crucify this self, that I no more but Christ might in me live. So do bless the friends, be with this church and people. We thank thee for thy mercies to us each. Daily thou dost load us with benefits. We are not worthy of the least of them. Lord, we thank thee for sparing our lives, being patient with us beyond degree, thy long suffering. And Lord, the liberty lengthened out to us to meet in this way, the health and strength to do so, but above all, Lord, that gospel which we come hoping to hear. Lord, the word of God we have before us, of which thou said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But that word that is the revelation of thyself in the person of thy Son, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we plead those promises thou hast made. Lord, that everyone that asketh in the name of thy Son shall be granted. And everyone that seeketh the Lord shall find him. And everyone that knocketh at the door of mercy, it shall be opened unto them. Lord, bless these people according to thy sovereign eternal will. Thou knowest those that are thine, those whom thou didst give to thy dear Son, and those, Lord Jesus, whom thou didst suffer, bleed, and die for, and rise again, and for whom thou dost intercede. Lord, thou dost know for whom thou didst stand, and give thy life a sacrifice. Oh, do make it known to them, Lord. Bless them with the witness of the Spirit. Lord, do work thy mighty work in our midst today. Lord, make thy people willing in the day of thy power, willing to believe, willing to leave all, willing to renounce all, to part with all, to win Christ, and willing to walk in thy commandments, willing, Lord, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Lord, we pray thou, bless the families. We thank thee, Lord, for the good number of young ones thou's granted this people here. We pray thy blessing on them, the work of thy grace, thy invincible call, irresistible, thy teaching, Lord. Teach them what sinners they are. Teach them what a saviour thou art. Teach them to pray. Teach them to look. Teach them to fear thee. Teach them, Lord, to walk in thy commands. Help them in these solemn times. Preserve them from the evils. Oh, do be a defence round about them. Help them to this end to pray. Be thou my shield and hiding place. O Lord, make a right and honourable way for them in life. Grant them success according to thy will, and as it shall be for thy glory and their good. May their steps be ordered by thee. Do raise them up a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee. The Redeemer, bless you, do help their parents. Lord, help us to pray. Give us grace that we be not a stumbling block to the young ones. Give us courage, give us strength. Oh, teach us how we shall order the children thou's given us. Oh, we pray for help. And do, Lord, gather unto thyself each of thy people. Bring thy sons from far and thy daughters to the ends of the earth. Everyone called by thy name. Oh, how sovereign thou art in the way that thou dost call thy children by grace. The Lord, we know every one of them will be. And we pray for it. Grant thy people grace that even their lives be a witness in this world of the all-sufficient grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, make us more to resemble thee, Lord. Humility, meekness, faith, love, reverence of thy word and of thy house and of thy commands. Set a watch over our mouth and keep the door of our lips. Preserve all of us, we pray, for the young ones and for us older ones too. Preserve us from the snares of this age. Lord, make thyself to us each a living, bright reality that we shall let everything else go. Lord, help us, we pray. Have pity on Zion. Restore the breaches. Repair the breaches. Build again the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, cleanse us from all that grieves thee. And grant a mighty outpouring of thy Spirit, we pray, according to thy promise. I will pour upon the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. Oh, we pray for it. Make us pray, Lord. Make us supplicate. Lord, not thinking that our prayers will merit anything, but pleading mercy through blood, with a wrestling spirit, such as thou didst give Jacob. Have pity on our nation. Restrain the wickedness. Open the eyes of many to see and feel thy judgments. Lord, overrule those in authority. Cause them to tremble at thy word turn unto thee. Lord, thou couldst do it in a moment if it pleased thee. But Lord, whatever pleases thee, do let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have pity on thy people, compassionate their case. Those in warfare, famine, pestilence, persecution. Oh, we would remember those who do not have the same liberties, who do not have the same plenty, of thy providence as we do. Lord, do go to them even now. And as the afflictions abound, cause the consolations to correspondingly and superaboundingly comfort their hearts. We ask all in the worthy name of thy dear Son, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the Lord, will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
Thank you.
dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this afternoon to the chapter we read, the book of Judges, chapter 13. Reading verses 22 and 23. Judges chapter 13, verses 22 and 23. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." May the Lord help me to speak from this word, an unusual text, but I feel the Lord has given it to me. We must remember that it is set in the Old Testament dispensation, and the people that are referred to in this chapter, Manoah and his wife, were indeed the Lord's people, his chosen, his elect. They were under the Holy Spirit's teaching and leading. That is clear from this chapter. But we have not in the Old Testament that clear and full manifestation of all that the types that the Old Testament set forth. Now in our day, and I stand before you as a minister of the New Testament, I feel the Lord will have me speak from this word in a New Testament way, based upon the truth that is set forth in the types. The first thing I want to point out to you is the grace of the reverence of God that was given to this godly couple. When they perceived, after seeing the angel of the Lord ascend up into heaven in the flames of that burnt offering, Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." What a reverence that man had of God. A proper reverence. A reverence of his holiness. Because that is the thing that is at the basis of this truth. And God himself declares it. No man has seen God at any time. And he said to Moses, didn't he, at that time when he favored him by putting him in that cleft rock, stood upon that rock, "No man can see God and live." This grace of reverential fear is something which is greatly needed in our day. It cannot be produced by us. It is the grace of the Lord himself. With what reverence did the Lord Jesus Christ himself speak of his Father? With what reverence Did he submit to every one of his commands? And with what reverence did he speak of his Father? My Father is greater than I. Indeed, he attributed all the words which he spake unto his Father. And he attributed all the works that were done unto his Father. He doeth the works, he said. May the Lord then grant us this reverential fear of God that was given to Manoah and his wife. In the context of the realization of our own sinfulness before this holy God. My dear friend, how often we're not in the fear of God. Let me put it simply like this. Let's put it in a way that even the youngest will be able to understand it. There is that which is right and that which is wrong. And it is God who declares that which is right and that which is wrong. And God declares to the children, honour thy father and thy mother. It's God's command. And it applies to whether someone is watching or not. How many things do you and I do in secret which we wouldn't do in the sight of others? That illustrates, that demonstrates the lack of the fear of the Lord, the reverence of Almighty God. The well-known story of a father who was a thief, and sadly leading his son, taking him with him, stealing apples from an orchard, he has his son on lookout. Son, is there anyone looking? And his son, the little boy, he has the fear of God in his heart. And he says, yes, God is looking. And you see, that doesn't apply just to an outward, clear breach of one of the commandments, thou shalt not steal. It applies to every command. And Manoah, convinced by God of his sin, realizes, the holy God, if I see him direct, without a mediator between, he must slay me because I am a continual transgressor. We shall surely die. We shall surely die. Surely we will. You know, what God convinces a person of, they are surely convinced of it. We shall surely die because we have seen God. The second point. Manoah's wife is used of the Lord here. She is the one who, instructed by the Lord, ministers to her husband. How sovereign the Lord is in this. In the Lord's order in marriage, The husband is the head of the wife. And I believe part of that is in that where the Holy Spirit has given that husband life, grace, he is usually principally to be his wife's instructor in a spiritual sense. That is why he must read the Word of God and pray in the home with her. But here, the Lord undoubtedly, for the humbling of Manoah, and yet for the encouragement of Manoah, he is pleased to use the woman. Let that be a word of instruction to the wives and to the other females among us in this congregation this afternoon. May you seek to be an help to your husband or to others, your children. But you need the Lord to grant you that grace to be an help. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. What a gracious, believing reasoning was given to Manoah's wife. Carnal reason leads us from God. But there is a spiritual reason. Not the reason of the natural mind, but the reason of the believing heart. The Lord calls his people, doesn't he, to come and reason together with him. On what terms? Surely, it's on the same terms as Manoah's wife by faith discerns in our text. For the Lord says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Reasoning on the ground of the one sacrifice, God's dear Son, giving himself a sacrifice, smitten by his Father in his people's place, that their scarlet dyed, crimson dyed sins might be made as white as snow and as wool. If the Lord were pleased to kill us. You see, notice the different way in which Manoah's wife by faith speaks of God. Manoah said, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us. The Lord is the name that God gives himself and teaches his people to know him, to call upon him, to trust in him. Do you remember? There's a place, I can't tell you exactly where it is, but there's a place in the early part of the scriptures where we read, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord is set forth that God is a merciful God, a prayer-hearing God, a compassionate, kind God who saves sinners from their sin. We read, and everyone that sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And that tabernacle, of course, represented Christ. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. This first thing, then, the Lord had put it into the hearts of these two people to pray that the angel of the Lord that had visited Manoah's wife and given her the promise that she would bear a son, that he would return. Manoah himself wanted to see this angel of the Lord. And of course, the origin of this is that the Lord had something more to bless Manoah and his wife with. And that's why the Lord's people keep praying. They can't stop praying, not for long. Because God has more and more to give unto them. And while God has more and more to give unto you, child of God, he'll cause you to pray for more, to ask for more. You think of the great blessings that the Apostle Paul was favored with, not only in his own soul, but those manifest tokens of the Lord's favor in the ministry, in those children. He was granted through the preaching of the ministry. But what do we find him saying in Philippians 3? Has he got all he wants? No. He says, I cannot myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not till the child of God is landed in heaven, safely with their Lord, seeing him face to face, without sin, without trouble, without sorrow, without any sinfulness in their nature. Not till then will the child of God have no more need of prayer. I shall be satisfied, said the psalmist, when I awake with thy likeness. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman. The woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. Manoah arose and went after and came to the man. You see, Manoah wanted to know how they should order this child. What a godly father to be he was. He knew he wasn't in himself capable of being a father to this child that was promised. He asked the angel of the Lord, show us how we should order the child. But then more particularly in coming to this word concerning the sacrifice, the burnt offering and the meat offering. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, let us detain thee till we shall have made ready a kid for thee. You see, we find this, do we not, in the Old Testament, The first instance of it is Abel, taught of God, and he brought a slain animal. Blood had been shed as a sacrifice, an offering unto the Lord. And by the Spirit, the eyes of those godly men and women were upon that which was yet to be revealed, yet to be accomplished. Of course, it was in that promise that was given in the Garden of Eden. The seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Paul, writing of Abel, he says, he obtained witness through that sacrifice he brought. He obtained witness that he was righteous. His eye must have therefore been upon Christ, mustn't it? Because as the hymn writer said, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. Now, as I said, I want us enabled to preach from this word in the light of the New Testament fulfillment of what was set forth by this offering, a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. A burnt offering and a meat offering. This was what God commanded. It speaks of the flame of divine justice that the Son of God, the Son of Man, endured on Calvary's cross. When all God's wrath against the sins of his people was poured upon his dear son. The offering being burnt in the Old Testament type, signifying that terrible, those terrible sufferings which he endured on Calvary's cross. Now, the point is, my dear friend, the teaching here is this. Each one of us here this afternoon, we are either blessed with the faith that Manoah and his wife were blessed with, and through that faith, trusting in the sacrifice of God's dear Son, and thereby secured from being slain justly by God. To the guilty sinner here this afternoon, the Spirit by this word then saith, haste to the cross. Haste and seek the Saviour's face. Faith always causes a sinner to come to God in the way God directs. Unbelief always leads a sinner from God and causes that sinner to go in their own way. The well-known parable of the two men that went up to the temple to pray sets forth those two ways. My dear friend, in this burnt offering, this meat offering, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain, the blood shed, security under that blood, pardon through that precious blood, and in that meat offering a blessed feast for the poor, hungry, perishing sinner who says with the spouse in the Song of Solomon this afternoon, tell me, O thou my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. That beloved of Christ, that woman whom he speaks of as being the fairest among women, why is she so hungry? Why does she ask her Lord where he feeds? Because she is a guilty sinner. What does he answer her? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received. I want to speak of that point. He would not have received. In this New Testament day, God does not call a sinner to bring to him the flesh of a beast. He does not call a sinner to set up an altar and have that flame on that altar consuming that burnt offering. No. It's an abomination in God's sight now. Christ, by his one offering, he hath abolished those things. The New Testament church has only ordinances which are memorials and ordinances of communion whereby by symbols the death of Christ is remembered and he is fed on by faith. So you say, what is it today to be favoured like Manoah and his wife were, to have the Lord receive the burnt offering and the meat offering at our hand? It is when a sinner taught of their sinnership, taught that nothing they bring of themselves is acceptable to God. They bring by faith, taught by the Spirit, they bring the name and the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ in their petitions to Almighty God. We've mentioned the publican. He doesn't mention in words the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in his prayer. But it's all the way through it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There is only one way God can be merciful to you, a sinner. And that is through his afflicting of his Son with the punishment of your sin. That perfect sacrifice, that infinite sacrifice, that divine person who laid down that life he took when he was made man, that blood which he shed, that life which he gave, those sufferings which he had endured, only through him Can God be merciful to you, a sinner? Now, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received. He would not have received. Every time the Lord causes a sinner in true and living faith to plead the name of Jesus Christ, he receives that. But there is a time in those people's experience when he makes it known that he has received it. You see, every prayer in Jesus' name which comes forth from a sinner's heart to God, God hears it. But he may not yet have granted the answer. But that prayer has been accepted by God in Jesus' name. But what I want to speak of, this is of course what Manoah and his wife were favoured to realise, was that their burnt offering and meat offering were received by the Lord. The angel of the Lord mysteriously and incomprehensibly went up into heaven in the flames that came up from that rock, that altar that had been made for that purpose. Of course, that sets forth Jesus Christ from the flames of Calvary, from the flames of the fire of his sufferings and death, ascending into paradise. As he had said to the thief, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." They saw their offering accepted by God as they saw the angel of the Lord ascend in that flame up into heaven. Oh, what a blessed thing is in a person's experience when this offering that Jesus made is shown by God to be accepted by him. And of course, Manoah and his wife saw it in this. They were not slain. Their lives are spared. And what I want to speak of is this real experience of a sinner when they are brought to plead the name and the blood, the sufferings and the death of Jesus Christ. In what condition are they in when they plead that? They are in a perishing condition. What puts them in that perishing condition? A sense of their sinnership. The realization of God's holiness and of their unholiness. And when they make their petition pleading mercy through blood, it is a venture. Will the Lord accept it? Is my prayer pleasing truly to God? Is my prayer truly the prayer of faith? Am I really from my heart pleading the name of Jesus and his precious blood? How are they to get the answer to those questions? They can only receive the answer to those questions from God. In Mr. Philpott's portion we read this morning that spoke of the Lord healing his people. He sent his word and healed them. And Mr. Philpott said, when the Lord heals a person, he does it all at once. Not like a doctor that puts a plaster on this and a liniment on the other. No, he speaks the word of healing. He grants the word of acceptance. He favours the sinner to enter into Christ, enter into him by living faith, enter into that cleft rock. He plunges that sinner in that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Accepted in the beloved. Nor would he have accepted. My dear friend, we must know this manifest acceptance. I want to come right down as low as the scripture warrants me to come. Because I know that the Lord is sovereign in the measure of assurance that he gives his people. But we must have something from him. If he has made your heart grieve because of your sin, if he has made you really to fear God, if he has made you really to tremble at judgment to come, if he has made sin a real malady to your soul, if you groan being burdened with this body of sin and death, how could you be satisfied without communion from him? The way the Lord chose to show he had accepted this burnt offering of theirs, it was consumed, and as it's consumed, the angel of the Lord goes up into heaven. Remember, his name was Secret, Wonderful. If he were not the Son of God himself, he is certainly one who is a type of the Son of God himself. His name is Secret. He speaks to Manoah and his wife in a similar way to how he spoke to Jacob at the brook Jabbok. Wherefore askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? And he blessed him there. Neither would he have accepted, received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Well, then let me, the Lord help me to speak of the way the Lord conveys to his people that he has received their petition. A word of encouragement from his own mouth in answer to those petitions. A fear not. A further discovering of himself in the person of his dear son. Hope put into the soul that was hopeless before. Never, my dear friend, never undervalue the gift of a God-given hope. When we are before God in our sins, feelingly hastening to the pit, greatly dreading we're a reprobate, and our poor soul cries, groans, sighs for mercy, the least hope that God gives us is exceedingly precious. If you are like Manoah and his wife pleading the mercy of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your ears will be attentive to get any intimation from God whatever that your prayer has not been an abomination in his sight. Why? To feel your heart drawn closer to him. That's a token that he has received the offering. To get a little relief from that distress and grief that has burdened your soul. To have raised up in your heart, who can tell, since the Lord has given me just a glint of his love and his mercy and his grace. And so this person who is in a New Testament way, by faith, making this offering, pleading the name of Jesus, begging mercy only on account of what Jesus has done, only on account, altogether on account of him. You'll be searching the scriptures and asking the Lord to speak to you out of those scriptures, to convey to you that your offering is received. You'll come to the house of God begging the Lord to cause either something in the hymns, the reading, the prayer, or the preaching of the gospel to come into your heart with application, with power. You see, if there is one word, and I've just used it, and it brings it right to my mind in connection with our text this afternoon, and it's that word, power. How did God show his power? Such a power that gave Manoah's wife to say to her husband, in effect, God has put forth his power in a way that shows he's not going to kill us. What you and I need, my dear friend, is that power we read of in Psalm 62 and Psalm 110. The psalmist in Psalm 62, he says, once have I, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. What power the Lord showed as this offering of theirs is consumed. Oh, what a witness that he has received the offering. If he show you Christ dying on the cross at Calvary, the sacrifice, as it were, consumed in the sense that Christ has really died. Oh, I thought of that word in Zechariah, that the Lord promises to pour upon his people the spirit of grace and supplication. And this follows. And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Now we're coming now to the higher end, the fuller end of these things that the Lord does for his people, putting forth his power to show them that he has received their petition. If he give you a sight of Christ crucified, they should look on me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. That brings me to this point, the power of the sacrifice. Blessed be his dear name, the power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is an almighty power. The sinner that receives the forgiveness of their sins, how they are proving the power of that sacrifice. And that may come experimentally in a number of ways. With some it comes with a view by faith through the preaching of the gospel of Christ crucified. With others it comes by the speaking to the soul by the Lord with power of a word such as this: when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Fear not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. But then, the sinner that is brought to plead this sacrifice, feeling within, stony heart. How do they know their offering, their petition has been received? My dear friend, when you feel the least softening of that hard heart, by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, what a proof that your offering has been accepted. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Has the Lord showed you any of these things? What things was it that the Lord had showed Manoah and his wife? Let us begin at the beginning. Manoah's wife was barren. Undoubtedly, they had often prayed that this judgment of the Lord might be lifted off them, that he might show mercy. He showed this thing. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord does that. It is sometimes for all the Lord's people. It is sometimes his will that a woman shall physically remain barren, either in an unmarried state or in a married state. But if he come even in that barren state, dear woman, here this afternoon, and show you that it is not in his anger, it is in his good purposes. Oh, what a thing you've been shown. But then, the instruction that they were shown, I'm going to leave the context here in the immediate sense of it, because I want to speak with application to the cases of the Lord's people here this afternoon. Has the Lord showed you a thing or two? Has he showed you that he is God? No one else could show you that in the way that makes you fear him. Has he showed you that you're a sinner? That you feel it? It's not just saying it. Showed you your sins. Has he showed you his way of salvation? You know, some of us can testify that we needed to be shown everything. Though we were brought up rightly by our parents, brought to the house of God under a sound ministry, when the Lord began to deal with us, oh, how ignorant we were shown we were. You know, it's a mercy to be shown your ignorance. Where there is a scholar that confesses their ignorance. Oh, what a field of work for the teacher. But where there is a scholar that sits there and says, I know everything. Oh, what hard work for the teacher. Has he shown you your ignorance? Has he said to you, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And you have been brought to confess, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Has he shown you the way of prayer, shown you how to pray, shown you how alone he can hear and answer prayer? Showed us these things. Oh, he showed these two, as we've tried to preach this afternoon, he showed them the way of acceptance. Sinner, if God has shown you your only hope is in Jesus Christ, he won't be pleased to kill you. He doesn't do that and disappoint that one. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Nor would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Let's go back, as we come to a close, to the immediate context of it, as we find again and again in the book of Judges. The Lord's hand is seen to be going out against Israel and Judah again and again because of their sins. He puts them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years, as we read at the beginning of this chapter. But now he's come to this couple, and they are the chosen parents of one of the judges that God is going to raise up to deliver Israel. That's what God told Manoah and his wife. This son of theirs is a chosen judge of the Lord. He's a vessel of the Lord's mercy. He's going to be the servant of the Lord to do a work for Israel. That is what they were told. My dear friend, Samson then is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. After showing his displeasure with you, sinner, it may be a few days, it may be months, it may be years. The Lord is sovereign in the length of time in which he leads his people into the sense and the experience of his wrath and indignation and trouble and distress and helpless condition. But as soon as he begins to speak of the promised heavenly Samson, Jesus Christ, the deliverer, the judge, who shall not fail till he has set judgment in the earth. But let me, as I close, speak like this with regard to this telling such things as these. He tells these things with power. And what does that power do? What does a sinner do when they hear of Jesus with the power of God? They spiritually get on their knees and cry, as they've never cried before, unto Almighty God in that blessed name. They seek him like they've never sought him before. He becomes precious to them in the want of him like nothing else in this world. They go out of self to this one. They turn their eyes, yea, concerning the desperate condition they're in, they turn their eyes to this promised deliverer. Plead that he would come, that he might indeed be born in their hearts, that the man child that Jesus himself spoke of might be born into this world, into their heart. They might see him by faith, embrace him in the arms of faith, and feel in him all their soul's salvation and all their soul's desire fulfilled. No, my dear friend, he won't kill you. If he has taught you to trust in his name, and thus far have brought you, he won't put you to shame. No. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would us at this time have told us such things as these. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Tea will be served shortly after the close of this service. Please would you sit on both sides of the chapel and towards the front. Thank you. Our closing hymn is number 160. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Hymn number 160.
O Lord, we ask thy blessing on thy word, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us, now and forever. Amen.